For the third time in the past 15 years, British Columbians are participating in a referendum to change the way the people of the province elect a government. In 2005, the single transferable vote, or STV, was put to the people in a referendum that ran concurrently with the provincial election. The referendum required a supermajority that included approval of 60% of the voters overall and simple majorities in 60% of the 79 districts in order to pass. It fell short of the required 60% overall by an extremely slim margin. 4 years later, STV was soundly defeated. The current government says it's time to revisit proportional representation. It has scrapped the STV method and is providing voters with four options with a 50+1 threshold to pass. The first is to simply keep the current system. If, however, you think it's time to change the way we elect the people who govern the province, you're then asked to rank your pick from three options. Bill Tillman of the No BC Proportional Representation Society is adamant that the referendum proposal is a bad idea. He campaigned against it in 05, in 09, and he's once again warning voters against proportional representation. We invited Bill Tillman to join us for a conversation that matters about the case for no when it comes to proportional representation.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Welcome on this very interesting topic, and it's very interesting having been such a long-time opponent to proportional representation. What is it about proportional representation that makes you go, no way?
Well, partly it's because it's the third time in 13 years I have to fight it. So, I mean, we won it in 2005, we won it convincingly and overwhelmingly in 2009.
Right.
And yet here we are again in 2018 doing once again. And so some people can't take no for an answer is the obvious piece of it.
But do they not say that's because it's a system that is being accepted around the world and it brings positive results?
Well, there's obviously people who are proponents of proportional representation, that's hard to say, who are zealots in some ways on this, and they keep pushing it back and back. But the reality is lots of major countries use first past the post, our current system, the United Kingdom, India, the United States, Canada, other countries. A number of countries obviously use proportional representation in many different types, but the most common one is not on the ballot in the fall for this year, and that's proportional representation list. It's used in Holland and many other countries where you don't really have ridings at all. You pick the party, whatever the percentage is, that's the number of seats they get in the parliament. And so you don't have ridings, you don't have geographic locations, you don't have constituents, you don't have local accountability and responsibility. All of the things that you get in first past the post, which makes it a superior system in my view and in many people's view.
Mm-hmm. But as you say, we don't have that version of proportional representation on the ballot anyway,
no.
So we don't need to worry about that. You know, you point out Great Britain, the United States, and there are some people who would say, well, first past the post there isn't producing results that we want right now. You take a look at the current president of the United States and also the Brexit issue. There was an awful lot of misrepresentation in those campaigns.
Yeah.
And we wind up with people who in some ways you could say are tyrannical.
Well, two things. In the United States, they elect a president directly. We do not elect, or indirectly through electoral college, we don't elect our premiers or prime ministers directly. We elect individual parliamentarians, individual members of the legislative assembly in each of the ridings. People decide who's the best candidate in our riding, the one who gets the most votes goes to parliament or goes to the legislature, and the party or parties that have a majority then form the government. When we see things like Donald Trump, the people who are unhappy with Donald Trump loved Obama. So we can't have it both ways. If you think that the electoral system should simply produce the results that you personally politically like, then you're in the wrong business. That's not the way it should work. You should have a political electoral system that produces good results, period.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be unhappy with the Donald Trumps of the world, you can't say, but Obama was an aberration and everything is bad. So that's important, I think. When you look at the UK, let's talk about the UK.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party, under Nigel Farage,
right,
kind of certifiable, they ran and they won one seat under first past the post out of 650 ridings. They could only convince one riding to convince them to give their member a ride to the parliament, but they got 12.6% of the vote. If it was proportional representation, they would have had 80 to 90 seats in the parliament. They would have played a major role in the government. There would have been a minority with the UKIP party would have been in charge. Fast forward to the next election, 2017, they got 1.5% of the vote and no seats. So under first past the post, extremists, whether they be far right, far left, religious, even regional, cannot get the kind of grip that they have. Mm-hmm. Whereas we look at Austria, the Freedom Party has this, the third largest number of seats, formed by a former Nazi SS officer. Most of their members of their parliament come from, not from ridings, they're not responsible to local voters, they come from the party list, mm-hmm. which is the percentage. So that kind of a system, it doesn't create neo-Nazis or far-right or far-left extremists, but it enables them, it gives them validity, it gives them a platform, it lets other people say, oh, well, if these people who are extreme are in parliament, it must be okay.
If we want to live in a democracy and we want people to participate, and if we tell them, no, if you don't get enough people behind your position, well, too bad, you're out, how does that encourage participatory democracy?
Well, what we have is a system where you have to win a riding. You have to convince your neighbors, your community, the area where you live, that you are a reasonable person to represent them in our legislature in Victoria. If you only need 5%, and that's the threshold the government has set, if you only need 5%, then you can have extreme views. In fact, it encourages extreme views.
But you're talking 5% on the one,
5%
on a particular, across the board.
5%
right.
across the province. So,
yeah.
So if you get 5% across the province, you will win currently 4 seats in the legislature. That's one more than the Greens have, mm-hmm. who have the balance of power.
So government, yeah.
Yeah, but just to finish that point, Sue. So with 4 seats, you could have the balance of power. And that could mean a party that is anti-Indigenous people, anti-gay, anti-Muslim, anti-refugee, anti-immigrant, a whole host of different things. We see a Chilliwack school trustee, Mr. Neufeld, who is against all of the gay and lesbian support mechanisms in the schools. He's against all sorts of things. I say very straightforwardly, in British Columbia, I believe a party espousing extremist views could get 5% for sure, and they would have 4 seats in our legislature, and they shouldn't have them.
Do we not wind up in situations, I mean, you take a look at the first Gordon Campbell election when the NDP were quite literally annihilated in the first past the post system, but if you were to take a look at the total accumulation of votes, their representation in the province was much greater than the 4 seats that they got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had somewhere in the 20% range.
And do they not still represent a portion or a perspective that is valid because they bounce back by the next election. Mm-hmm. And so to say, nope, sorry, you only get 4 seats, is not an accurate representation of what that that whole belief and ideological and political philosophy is. But they get shut out. And we're hoping that Gordon Campbell is going to be magnanimous enough to say, well, I'm the premier of the entire province and I'll take all of these things into consideration. I think those days are done in politics.
Well, here's the thing, and it comes back to the fundamental difference between my opponents who want proportional representation and myself and others who want first past the post. We want local accountable representation. And what happened in 2001 was the NDP had driven itself into a very deep hole. Mm-hmm. And riding after riding, people said, we don't want an NDP government anymore. We want the BC Liberals, as is their right. They had an overall majority. So even if we hadn't had first past the post, the Campbell government would have had a massive majority.
But under proportional representation.
Even under proportional.
Yeah.
But that would probably be the only time you would have seen a majority government. So when we have
couldn't you have said the same in 1990 when Mike Harcourt won his first government, when BC threw out the Socreds? He still would have wound up with a majority.
No, he would not have, no. The NDP has won with 40, 39, 41.5, 40.5% of the vote. They've actually lost elections with 45, 47% of the vote. But that's the point. It's about the ridings. It's about the local, accountable, responsible MLA to that community. And each community decides. And the fact that in one riding, let's say West Vancouver, Sea to Sky, maybe 80% vote BC Liberal, should that then influence the rest of the province? I mean, I would say no. I think what we have is reasonably equal ridings. I mean, obviously, there's northern ridings that are smaller in population of voters because they're so far flung. But basically, we say we've got this representative system so that everybody has a voice in the legislature. And out of all of those, you take the majority of ridings decides the majority in the government, not the majority of votes. And so if we want to change that, there's a whole bunch of fundamental problems that will come out of it, one of which is Metro Vancouver will rule the province even more directly and more completely than it does right now.
Okay, but that's based on population.
Exactly.
And so
that's what proportional representation is based on. It's based on what's the percentage of the population that votes this party, this party, this party, and that it roughly, almost exactly reflects that.
Okay, well, one of the proposals that's being put forward is to have a rural-urban, division. Mm-hmm. One system for rural, another for urban, mm-hmm. to try and give a little bit more of that balance and some sort of mm-hmm. proportional representation to those rural ridings.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, it's one of two systems that has never been used anywhere in the world. Nowhere. So two out of the three models that the NDP government with Green support have put forward have never been tried anywhere. I don't like the idea of experiment. I don't like the idea of proportional representation, period. But to experiment with it as well seems to me the height of folly. That said, nobody knows what riding there would be in. You don't know what your riding would be under any of the three models proposed. I don't know. No one watching this could possibly know what riding they're going to be in or how many MLAs they would have in that riding. Mm-hmm. All of these details have been left out. There are no riding boundary maps. In 2009, with the single transferable vote proposal of proportional, mm-hmm. we at least had riding maps. And people looked at that and they said, wow, some of these ridings are bigger than Germany. That doesn't make any sense. That's not the way to have local representation. And it was overwhelmingly rejected by 61% of the voters. So in this circumstance, we're saying, there's two of the models you've never seen anywhere else in the world. The third one's used in about five countries, Germany, New Zealand most prominently. And you don't know what the boundaries are, and you don't know what the details are, you don't know how the system will actually work, you don't know how many MLAs there'll be, but just vote for it and trust us. Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
Well, one of the things that I find interesting about this referendum versus the two previous ones under the Campbell administration is at least they put forward a plan and they said, this is it. Mm-hmm. Either you vote for mm-hmm. it or you don't. Right now they're saying, do you like the current system? And if you don't, well, here are three choices. Make your choice the same way that you would on a proportional representation ballot, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Does that cause you concern?
Enormous concern. And first of all, it's an all-party committee, which they say, it's an all-party committee, which means it's a Green NDP majority. NDP Green majority will decide. So that would obviously shut the Liberals out of it and anybody else, if there had been there, out of it, number one. Number two, I'm not going to in any way encourage anybody to vote for any of those three options. We've in fact called on people to boycott them unless the government provides the details that we need to know of how the system would actually operate. Open list, closed list, there's a lot of very complicated and confusing details in proportional representation. Mm-hmm. What the riding boundary maps are and how many MLAs there'll be. So, and all of those are missing. So I feel extremely uncomfortable with the entire thing. So we'll be calling on people to vote in favor of first past the post. And if you are in favor of first past the post, don't pick any of the three.
Well, you don't anyways. If you're in favor of first past.
No, but you can. You can
even
vote
still.
For,
I thought it was still, if you no, vote for first no. past the post, you go, that's it.
See how confusing it is. No, you can vote in favor of first past the post, and then you can rank 1, 2, 3 the three options for proportional. So whether you vote in favor or against, you still have the opportunity to rank those models.
Well, it seems ridiculous to do so. If you're in favor of first past the post, why would you spend any time or energy?
Maybe you think one of them is a great system if you had to have it. But what's worse than that is when we get down to the actual counting of that ballot, if proportional passes, then we'll have three models and you need to get 50%. So if all three have a certain percentage that's under 50, the bottom one will be dropped out and the second choices of the people who picked the least popular method, then their second choices will be counted, and that'll determine what becomes our electoral system for an indefinite period. And again, with all those details, et cetera. So this is really, and then what does that mean? Well, let's say we have a 30 to 40% turnout, which is quite normal. It could be quite on a mail ballot, standalone ballot. So then if it's 21%, let's say 40%, being generous, 21% vote in favor, proportional, 19% vote against. So then, of the 21%, some fraction of that 21% is going to decide what our electoral system is. There is no threshold for turnout, so it doesn't matter if 10% turnout or 100% turnout. It doesn't matter. 50% plus one, rather than in the past, under the two previous 2005 and 2009 referenda, it was a 60%. Plus 60% of the ridings had to vote over 50% in favor. So it was sometimes called a supermajority, but I would say it's a strong consensus for change. Mm-hmm. Just like we don't change our constitution in Canada without a strong consensus and a lot of other things. In my strata, I can't pass a change to the budget during the year unless I get 75%, even if it's to replace my boiler. But we can change our democracy with a bare minimum and no threshold.
So we have threshold. Well, everything you just explained to me, you explained it so quickly, I don't have time to comprehend it or to make sense of it. And I guess that's what you're in essence inferring, and I'm implying, is that this whole system is very complicated and very difficult to understand.
Well, what we say is it's complicated and confusing. It also guarantees perpetual minority governments, which means instability. In Italy, they had 65 governments in 70 years under proportional representation. In Germany, it took them 5 months to come up with a government. In Belgium, it took them over 500 days to come up with a government. So we have those issues. Instability, political instability, is not good for the economy. It's not good for jobs. When people don't know who's going to do what. We saw here in British Columbia, a little example. We've only had one minority government in 65 years under first past the post, the current government. Andrew Weaver decides he wasn't want to go along with a lot of things the NDP wanted, even though they got over 40% of the vote and he got 16. He says NDP campaign promises are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides who becomes the prime minister, or premier. He decides on the policies. He negotiates in a backroom deal with the NDP exactly what they will and will not do for the confidence and supply agreement. That's what happens in proportional representation countries every single time. And when things don't go right, they do it all over again. So you're taking power away from voters and giving it to political parties. Under mixed member proportional, one of the three systems that's proposed, the only one that's been used anywhere, 40% of the legislature will consist of party list MLAs. Those will be MLAs with no riding, they have no accountability or responsibility to local voters. They are simply top-ups to make the party match its percentage in the popular vote in the legislature.
So what's in that list, what's the difference between an open list and a closed list?
Okay, and an open list, well, first of all, each party will list its priority candidates. So you can never get rid of the leader because at the top will be John Horgan, Andrew Wilkinson, and Andrew Weaver. So even if they lose their seats, they'll be at the top of the list, PR list. So then they'll go into the legislature that way. But in whether it's regional or provincial, which hasn't been decided, the list you can have a closed list where the party decides the order, and then the voter just votes for the party, and that's that.
And what's your concern about that? Like, I have concerns about that.
Well, hang on a second.
How do I even know who I'm voting for?
Well, you could have a list. I mean, even if it's regional, you're going to have 10, 15, 20 people in each region. If it's provincial, you'll have, you know, up to 90 or more, because we'll probably increase the legislature to 95 MLAs. They can increase it by, it's 87 now, it could go up by 8. So that is, I mean, it's kind of like when you look at a city council vote in Vancouver, you can have 100 people running for city council or more. It's crazy. You can't research them all. And that's the same thing that would happen in a provincial election. So that's the closed list. The open list means you and I can look at this list. We decided to vote for whatever party. We can reorder it. We can take the leader and move the leader to the bottom and move Joe Blow up to the top and Jane Doe comes up here and move them all around. That would presume that you actually knew who those people were.
Right.
And you had strong feelings about the relative merits of each one of them and re-rank them. But we know from open list proportional countries, almost nobody does that. They just don't do it.
Bill, you put yourself out here in a position where you got people who are going, I don't like you doing this because for one thing, you're supposed to be back in our party and we're back in this. Why is this so important to you? Because you have brought your own critics about you. You're not doing this without some personal cost to you.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to you that we stay with the first past the post system?
Well, I haven't changed my position, number one. I looked at it in 2005 when the Citizens Assembly was looking at this, and I thought, oh my God, I went down there as a journalist and said, oh my God, these guys are actually going to do this. And I thought this would be a crazy system. It was only used in Ireland and Malta, two tiny island nations. Nobody else picked it up. And I thought, this is nuts. And as I researched it more and more, I realized that the number of problems, the rise of extremism in Europe, particularly in the far right, but not exclusively to that, the instability, all of those problems, as I research more, led me to believe that first past the post is the best system. It's stable, it's successful, and it's simple. You know, I just explained in less than 20 seconds the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you can't do that with proportional representation in any way, shape, or form. You've got the Droop formula. You've got the weighted Gregory method. You've got all of these mathematical, you know, genius formulations that take ordinary voters look at it, and this is not to insult the intelligence of a voter at all. Mm-hmm. I have a master's degree in political science, and I have a hard time grasping some of the concepts. They are that difficult. And the other side will say, oh, if you can rank ballots, you understand it. Well, that's not what it's about. You want to know how the system works. You want to know what riding you're going to be in. How are people going to be decided? How am I, Emily, going to be chosen? The second, I mean, for example, in dual member proportional, one of the other systems proposed, which doesn't exist anywhere, even the government's own report said choosing the second MLA in that riding will be very complicated. Mm-hmm. That doesn't give me confidence.
Okay, but let's, you know, you say you went down and took a look at it in 2005, but you stayed with this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who fight campaigns and then move on. Mm-hmm. There's something about this that you believe is fundamentally important to the way that we're going to continue to govern in Canada. Why is it that it's so important to you?
I think it's because it's local accountable representation and that it's an easy system for everybody to understand, and it does work. And, you know, as a new Democrat, I'm sorry that we didn't win for 16 years. But we could have won in 2005, we could have won in 2009, we should have won in 2013, and we did almost effectively win in 2017. If you look back over a period of time, the NDP has done, you know, in the last 25, 30 years, they've done quite well. They haven't done as well as the Liberals, but if John Horgan continues on this, it'll be almost even by the end of this term. So you can't, but I find a lot of new Democrats say, oh, we hated Gordon Campbell and Christy Clark, so we have to change the system. That's not what it's about. You shouldn't be changing systems to get the result you want. You should only change systems if you think you've got something better. And proportional representation is worse than what we have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.